welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to trail stories, tent camping to rock landing, and all things to do with the outdoors. We have Kurt from Busted to Built, and I'll tell you, we have started this recording like three times. Today is not our day for podcasting.
No, apparently not.
Just hanging out with the boys.
Just hanging out with the boys. So how you doing, Kurt? You've got, what is that thing, a Tahoe? No.
Nope, you're right. It is a Tahoe. Yep.
Oh, it is a Tahoe.
2004 Tahoe. Yep.
The weirdest off-road truck you'll ever see.
Yeah, I guess so far it seems like it is. So when I was building it, I didn't think it was that weird until you get it out in the wild amongst everything else. And yeah, it's kind of a, it sticks out a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It pokes up a little bit. It's a little taller.
Yeah.
It's kind of big, so. But, I don't know. I built that kind of based off of, I had a truck before that was just a regular cab pickup that I just kind of beat on. I took it to Hollyoaks and the mounds and stuff like that. And I eventually kind of broke that truck in half. And so that's kind of what started the Tahoe. And you could say it being kind of overbuilt is that I just never wanted to end up back in that scenario. So it's there's a lot of steel on it. Yeah.
Typical GM things, you broke it in half?
Yeah, yep. Well, I'll go back to that truck a little bit. The truck I was beating on before, it was a 92 Chevy, regular cab, long bed, and I had solid axle swapped that with a 10-bolt Chevy front axle. They're inherently not strong, but I never had an issue with the actual drivetrain part of it, but I sent it off of a jump, not intentionally, but my windshield was covered with mud, and I just didn't see what was coming up. So anyways, I went airborne with it and broke the knuckle the C right off the axle. Like the weld broke the whole way around the tube and the C come off, and just the axle itself was what was holding kind of everything together. But like the whole knuckle flipped forward and we had to drag it onto a trailer. And so that was what broke on that truck. But anyways, there wasn't much left of it by the time that was done. So that was, I had like a year where I didn't have anything that I was wheeling with at all. And so then I just wanted to build something, and that's how the Tahoe got started. And I just kind of memories the whole while of the things that I had snapped on truck one. And so it's like, well, I'm going to try to beef this up a little bit or beef this up a little bit. And so that's kind of what happened with the Tahoe. And it wasn't even supposed to be a Tahoe, or necessarily it wasn't going to be. I just had the frame that I started on, and the frame I got from my brother for nothing. He just had it sitting around for a project he was working on that he took parts off of. And so I was like, well, that'd be the bones I start with. And it was a Chevy frame, 04 Chevy 2500 HD. And it was a 6-liter. So it just had the engine mounts for a gas LS in it already. So that was already set up. It's like, well, this is good bones. So I'll start with that. And from there, just kind of threw, the kitchen sink at it.
Yeah. So that's a 5.3 though, right? You didn't put a 6.0
right.
back in it?
Yep. Nope. It's a 5.3. The truck that, the frame come from my brother, he was taking the motor and trans for his project. So he's building a square body Suburban right now, an 87. And so that'd be pretty cool when it's done. But it's taken him a little longer than it took me to do the Tahoe. If you figure I got the frame and he had already pulled the motor for his project. So he's a little behind schedule, but it's going to be a little cleaner than the Tahoe when he's done too. So different kind of operation, but so I got that, and I had a half ton Chevy, a 99 that I bought just for the engine and trans and everything. Typical frame rot, was broke right in half between the cab and the box when I got it, but ran like a cherry. And so that was what the motor trans came out of for the Tahoe, was what was just that. So anyway, so it's got the, so it's original motor for a Tahoe. So everybody can make sense of that. So everybody asks me right away, they're like, is that a 5.3? It's like, yeah, it's 5.3. And so they just assume it's the same motor that it came with. But it's like four different trucks just to make this thing what it is. So, yeah.
And how much, because you've got Ford axles, right?
Yep.
So what leaf or what springs did you use on that?
So the 2500 springs are what I used on the rear of that. Just the leaf springs that would have come on the frame. And then the front springs are actually 6-inch lift springs for an XJ. All I can say about it is that would be the roughest riding XJ if you put those springs under it, because it carries the Tahoe pretty good. But when I was building it, I had a buddy that gave me a bunch of goofy Ford parts because his boss put a lift on his brand new Super Duty. So he got like the old springs and crap. So I kind of like mocked everything up with these old Super Duty springs or new Super Duty springs, but they were just stock. So they were way too heavy and I couldn't get enough extension out of them to droop as much as I wanted. And so I figured if I went with a really like slinky like spring, so I got kind of like the longest spring I could come up with for a stock application, which was, you know, basically a 6-inch XJ spring. And I'm sure you could find more or less, but that was kind of what worked. And that gave me the right amount of droop and compression and everything for the space that I was in. So, and it seems to ride okay, but it's not, it's nothing you take the whoops at with speed, so.
No.
So, a little off topic here. What is this white turbo truck I've been seeing on your page?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of what started my YouTube thing. During COVID, just spare time, everybody had a little of that. But so that was the project I started on, and that was started as an 01 2500 HD. 6-liter auto truck, 4-wheel drive, and I went through and redid all that, and there's a bunch of videos on my channel of it, but that was when my editing skills and my video skills were very, very poor, so I can't even rewatch those videos, so I wouldn't advise anybody going and rewatching a lot of them. Like, you can go back a little ways, and there's a few videos that are probably okay, but a lot of them are, like, you know, just poor editing and poor video quality, but anyway. So it's the proof's out there that I built it. But anyways, it's it ended up having, then I got a different truck that I took the body off of. So it's an 05 half ton 2-wheel drive body on an 01 2500 HD chassis, solid axle swapped. And then, 6-liter sloppy stage 2 cam turbo, just an eBay turbo kit where you get the log manifold and the turbo. And
so I was just going to ask, who's turbo, but...
Yeah, nope, eBay turbo, Chinese, more than likely, but...
what do they call them, wing bang blowers?
There's all kinds of names. Man, I think I saved a screenshot of something like that with a meme of a bunch of them that I was looking at now that you brought that up, but anyway, I built that truck, and I tune all my stuff myself with HP tuners. And having the cam and the turbo at the same time was just two huge variables to try to tune it. And I got very discouraged with the tuning. And I also put it together with a 5-speed manual originally. So it was 6-liter turbo with a 5-speed NV4500. And I did not like that at all either, because that was really hard to tune that, trying to shift and do all that monkeying around with the laptop and stuff. So I couldn't really get anywhere fast. So it went in the back burner for 2 or 3 years. And so in the meantime, I broke that first mud truck. And then I had also built the Tahoe, since it's this turbo truck's even really been driven over the winter. I put automatic transmission in it, finally a 4L80 back in it. And that makes the drivability like 100% better. And so
That's really funny, because most guys I know that tune say it's easier to tune a manual than an auto.
Yeah, it may be for a guy that actually knows what he's doing.
So right.
I'm just some guy dink in his backyard as far as the tuning. I'm pretty good with cars and repair, but the performance and stuff like that, it is really like a whole nother level of understanding that 100%. It takes to do that. So a lot of credit to the people that do that, because it's taken me years to tune the 3 or 4 trucks that I've got a cam or a turbo on. And, you know, that's more work than putting the parts in. The parts takes 30 minutes to slap in there, but to tune it so where it goes down the highway every time, I mean, that's a totally different story. So that's where the Tahoe is awesome, because that one, I don't care how it really runs when it's like
right
necessarily at idle, or I'm just kind of putzing along and stuff, and it can get horrible economy. You know, I can run a 10 to 1 on that, and I don't really care, because I'm not keeping track of that or anything, you know, whatever keeps the engine happy. And so anyways, yeah, that one's kind of funner, because I've gotten kind of ignorant with the tuning on that. Like, I've got a lot of timing in that and all kinds of stuff where it should grenade, you know. If it was a daily driver, it would pop. But that one's a lot more fun, because I don't really care about it. Like, it's all just used parts, and if this is really experimental the whole way through. And
right.
So if I have to eventually replace the motor, it's just going to get a 6 liter anyways. So I'm not super concerned about that. But anyways, yeah, I don't know. Now I'm rambling. I told you guys that you were going to have a hard time opening me up, and now I won't shut up.
Dude, this is just what we needed.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Making a breakthrough then. But
yeah, I agree with that. I built a couple turbo truck. Well, a turbo truck and a turbo car. And the tuning, man, and even the power stroke, like, I couldn't have done that. I had to pay someone for that.
Yeah.
There's just no way. I even had, so I had the first generation HP tuner.
Okay.
The one that had the big box on it.
Yep.
And I messed around with it a little bit on my Dodge, and I couldn't even make the thing run. Like, it was so bad.
Yeah. No, it's an art for sure. So, kind of luckily for me, and I'll give my buddy here a shout out to Ian. He had a daily driver that he turboed, put a cam in, 06 Chevy. And so he went through all this kind of before I did with a lot of it, as far as running me through, you know, at least this is the equipment you need. This is how you kind of use it. And he's actually an engine tester for GM. So he actually does a lot of the calibration stuff for GM engines. So he's extremely knowledgeable. And so I learned quite a bit from him, and that kind of got me in the door, and I popped a cam in my first truck. And then after that, you know, then I kind of got a little more carried away as things went on, and trying to learn a little bit, but I think I'm backing off of that a lot more, because everything's getting more and more complex with the tuning and stuff. So I just like sticking with the Gen 3 LS stuff and just learning that and stick with it.
Yeah, that's the easier ones. I never even tried to tune anything. I tried to adjust a carburetor. I fucked that up. So I stay away from that.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm supercharging the 4Runner here soon.
Oh yeah,
and I'm probably gonna end up having to get that tuned, because my wife doesn't want me to put a 5-speed in it. If I could put a 5-speed in it, I have a 5-speed CPU for it.
Okay.
Or PCM, but I don't know. I'll just keep working on it, because I want the 5-speed.
Yep. You're saying that's fun.
Leather.
Oh, go ahead.
Leatherwood can really lock that in, that I wanted a 5-speed, because that was awful in an automatic.
No, you didn't like that?
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Yeah, you say I really like my auto, at least off-road. And I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's preference, what you prefer and what you're more comfortable with. I'm definitely at the point where I just like to slap that thing in gear, and I just, you know, foot on the brake and foot on the gas, and that everything else can take care of itself. But,
you know, everything in Michigan, I agree with you, but like what we were doing down there, and maybe if I had a heavier rig, it'd have been different, or one with more power, but having that little tiny V6 in there, I definitely needed a 5-speed to get out through a lot of that. Mm.
Yep.
Downhills were awful.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just put it that way.
Sure. Yeah, you definitely get a much lower first usually in a manual. So,
for sure.
Yep. But yeah, that's part of why I got rid of the manual in the turbo truck, because that NV4500's got like a 5 or 6 to 1 first gear, so it's essentially a 4-speed. Yeah, I mean, you don't even use first. I mean, unless you're, you know, moving a trailer around or something, but otherwise, like, it's got no business being in there. So it was just kind of like, yeah, I've already got a 4-speed, so I'm getting a 4-speed. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I had a 5-speed Power Stroke, and I never touched first gear, ever. It was always second through fifth.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure in a Power Stroke, you could just fire that thing off in third, and it'd take right off, too, anyways.
Oh, yeah. It'd have been perfectly happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that one, I mean, that one made a, like, 400-ish horsepower. It wasn't anything crazy, but then my green automatic, that one I made crazy, and I wish it had a 5-speed, because I kept grenading the automatics.
Yeah. Also didn't help that we had a wrong torque converter, was it?
Yeah, but that van torque converter isn't what ate up the transmission. That was just those junkyard transmissions I was pulling just were not up to the task.
I still can't believe how chewed up that one flywheel was.
Oh, yeah, when it cracked?
Yeah, it was like perfectly cut circle almost.
Yep. Yep, that's very common. Yep.
Yeah, so you do a lot of stuff here in Michigan, mostly parks, though, right? You don't do a whole lot of wild wheeling?
Yeah, we don't do a whole lot of, like, trail stuff, and not because we're not interested, I guess, but a lot of it, you really have to be camping to enjoy a lot of it, and it's not really sensible to trailer to the trailhead to do a lot of that stuff right. Sometimes either. When, if you go to the park, you can kind of do a lot of it in a day where, I don't know, I don't have a family other than my wife right now, so the camping experience and stuff, we've kind of lived out ourselves, and like, you know, my dogs don't care if they're in a tent or not, you know, so
yeah,
I mean, we're not really into that thing right now, and nothing against the people that are, like, I mean, I really appreciate that you guys get out there and get to camp and do all that stuff too, because I wish, like, when I was a kid that I got to do stuff like that seems super cool, so but yeah, right now we just kind of do the off-road parks, and the Tahoe's not really fit for a lot of highway stuff, or right. You know, even on some of the trails, it feels kind of awkward when you're passing, like, mostly dirt bikes and side by sides, and then I'm rolling by, and it's like, where'd that guy come from? You know?
even with our smaller rigs, we understand that one. It's just how it is now.
Yeah. Yep, yeah. 100%. So. Hopefully we're going into a little depression here and some of them side-by-sides will go to the wayside. We'll see about that, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, my the scars on my 4Runner would be happy to not get friends. I don't know what it is about side-by-sides and being attracted to my truck, but.
Oh, you had a little trail damage, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I've been.
Three incidents in one day?
Yeah. In one day, well, three or four. I think four.
What doesn't help, it was a holiday, so it, like, everyone was out that day.
Yeah, but they all hit my truck, and we had three trucks out there.
Two. I think it was just the Jeep and yours. Alan's trip.
Oh, did you not have the taco yet?
No. That trip solidified me getting a rig.
Oh. Either way, yeah, it sucks.
That's scary to think about, you know, a rig that size that they're running into you, to think about, you know, how many dirt bikes or ATVs are out there. It's like they're never going to see a guy on a dirt bike if they're hitting a full-size vehicle, you know, cruising around.
Well, the first one, he went to pass me, and he didn't get over far enough and then just scraped the side of my truck.
Oh, Jesus.
The second one, he was coming at us, and he went too high up on the side to go around us and then tipped over on top of me.
Wow.
And then the third one was coming at us, and I'm talking to the guy. I'm like, just be careful going past me. I don't want to get hit by another one of you today. And as I said that, he goosed it, and his back end swung out and hit my truck.
Oh, wow. Any of them stop to say anything or square up with you in any way or not really?
Just the one that we had to push off my truck. The other two kept going.
Huh.
Yeah. The one that tipped really, over on me.
Yeah, I'll say the first one zipped away.
He hit me and then just floored it.
Oh, hit and run.
But yeah, the one that tipped on me, he stopped because if I moved, he would have rolled over. So
Jeez.
He didn't have a choice.
Man, that's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, I've had one... in the UP, it pushed me kind of off the side of the road. He would not move over. I was trying to make room and go around him, give him a little bit of space, and I slid down. It was like a sandy berm, basically. Went down about 3-4 feet down the berm, pretty much to the woods. It was pretty much the down into a ditch. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. Mitch was in front of me. He thought he was going to have to, like, winch me out. And I just kind of gave it some beans and forward and reverse and got it out. And kind of, like, started driving up to the guy a little bit. And I was like, yeah, you know, I kind of got out of your way so you could go by. And he goes, oh, yeah? I'm like, yeah. And the whole fucking time, he just sat there the whole time. He was just standing there. And I'm like, so like that. It's like, I almost fucked my rig up in the middle of nowhere just because he just didn't want to get out of the fucking way. He was just some old geezer on a side-by-side. But side-by-side is side-by-side. It's really, at this point, I don't discriminate.
Or you do. You discriminate against side-by-sides.
Yes, all of them. Doesn't matter what age, they all get a bad rap in my eyes until they prove otherwise.
So, Kurt, do you have any future plans for that Tahoe? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm going to say a few things. I would like to put a selectable locker in the front. Right now, it's just got a lunchbox locker, and it does the trick. It's actually extremely stout. I've broken like multiple hubs and shafts with that same locker and not hurt it any. So it's extremely strong, but yeah, just you might as well have a welded front end at that point, because I'm just unlocking my hubs constantly, because otherwise you can't turn and all that crap. So it'd be nice to have a selectable locker up there. The rear right now is just limited slip. And I'm working on a e-locker on that right now. I've got a whole nother axle, but the axle is way too new for me to just take the locker out of. So I'm seeing if I can just put some gears in it. It's out of a 19 F-350.
Okay.
And that one I just happened to come across by happenstance. So we'll see if I can make it work or not. But so I got nothing into that. But if not, I want to get just a 05 and up e-locker to put in it, or an 11 and up, I think it is, e-locker, whatever the year is there. But and do that route for the rear too. So the limited slip does really, really good on it. Most people would never notice, but like watching my videos or anything, that it doesn't have a locker in the rear. But when it really gets hung up where it's almost lifting the one tire, most of the time it'll always start just spinning the one. So that's kind of just I wish I had just a little more. So that's where I'm at right now. But otherwise, I really enjoy it how it is. I don't think I want to put a whole lot more into it. It seems like it's doing all right, I guess, and I'll probably just keep breaking stuff and having to fix it more than worry about upgrading or doing a whole lot more to it, I think. It's kind of crazy, just the tire difference. My first truck only had 35s on it. It was the biggest I ever put on it. And like I say, I never broke anything with even that 10-bolt in it, which is a 28 spline, so it's, like I say, pretty weak, and I never broke anything doing wide open pulls and stupid stuff with that. And so my same mentality went into the Tahoe, like, oh, this is a Dana 60, and like, I should be able to run 40s wide open throttle, no problem. And like, you just, the second you hit the throttle on that thing doing something stupid, like it's popping an axle, it seems like. So having to learn to be more reserved driving it, or go down in tire size, one or the other, is probably maybe even in the future plans. So,
well, are you running stock shafts in there, or are you running chromoly?
So I've got chromoly outers and stock inners. I keep having issues with the outers breaking. Not a big issue. I only just put the chromolys in, and so far I've only broken one, but I feel like I'm going to keep probably breaking them if I keep abusing it how I am. So,
right.
But I'm not scared to beat on it either, just because I have the means to fix it. Like, I got my own shop and stuff, so it's not like a huge deal. So I kind of live for that as far as like the breaking it a little bit. Some people are a lot more reserved, you know, where it's their daily, or they got a payment on it, or they're, you know, whatever. And their situation's a lot different than mine, where I'm trailering everywhere, and like I'm almost not satisfied if I load it up not broken some days. Like if it comes home in one piece the next day, I'm asking Megan, can we go here tomorrow? And, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. So I'm kind of an odd duck in that sense, that a lot of people are like, you're going to break it, don't do that. And it's like, well, what did I come out here for? So, yeah, so hopefully that's good entertainment for a lot of people too. But
You're not too that out of a duck though, because me and Mark are the same way, and we don't trailer. So.
Oh yeah, we're good. I got payments.
I mean, I was a little more reserved in Leatherwood just because I didn't want to call Dad and be like, "Come pick me up 8 hours away."
Oh right, right. Yeah, I hear you there. No, I was kind of reserved down there because, you know, once we got down there, it's like, well, I am the biggest thing down here, so I've got to winch myself basically 100 feet at a time out right. of wherever I get stranded, if that's the worst case scenario. So I was kind of reserved, but also ended up pushing it pretty good just because, yeah, we ended up doing some unseen, recovery with a buddy that was having some issues. And, so yeah, that was kind of cool too. Just being able to get that content, I guess, and just see what it could do, because it would never get to do something like that here in Michigan. You know, that was kind of,
for sure.
I don't want to say a once in a lifetime, but you know, it's, anything could happen, so I'm glad we did it type of thing. So,
So the only place I can think of would be with Skidder.
Yeah. I want him to get that thing on Skidder. We've talked about it.
Yeah.
I did research a couple videos there after you mentioned it, and going to say, I think I need to get some flare action out on the sides to keep me away from some obstacles there. So I'll have to do a little work.
Feel like it's... Well, as tall as you are, you'd be into the side of the ground.
Yeah, I'll make some Whistling Diesel 10-inch wheel space just for that obstacle.
Yeah.
I was about to say, we have a good one with the crawler before it got stripped apart.
Did you guys see that picture I sent of the crawler before it was destroyed?
I saw that.
Oh, my God. That thing was sick.
That was sick.
I'll send it to Kurt real quick.
Yep.
Yeah, the if I can find it, where the hell is it?
Botches? Main chat?
The crawler that we just tore apart that Duncan had bought. We tore it apart, took all the good stuff off, and used it. And this is a picture of it from before. Yeah, randomly, the guy who built the crawler liked pictures of the 4Runner on my Instagram.
Oh, I think it's familiar.
Oh, I sent the wrong picture. Whoops.
Yep.
Enjoy the dick pic.
Oh, it's not a dick pic. It's a conversation with Gavin.
That looks like a crawler.
But yeah. So yeah, and this is before it was long traveled in this picture. But it was just out of the blue. I'm like, who's this Chris Harvey guy? And then I'm like, oh shit, I know that truck.
Yeah,
dig the mirrors on it.
Yeah. I'm glad it didn't have those on it when I came here.
Yours is one of two anyway.
I have bad experience with long mirrors sticking off the side of my truck. I rip them off all the time.
Yeah.
It happens.
You got a nice new one from Benji in Missouri?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
like 2 weeks later.
Got it brand new, gave it to him, famous Benji, and then he ripped it off. Not even like 2 weeks later. Again.
Yeah. Same spot, same rut. Skidder Hill's a bitch. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there really isn't much challenging around here.
Yeah,
no.
I'd like him to see him go through Pine after it's like full of water.
Oh, Pine's dry right now.
Well, it wasn't the other day after that thunderstorm. Holy shit. Huh. I took some bypasses on that one.
Yeah, I went out there. Baby. That weekend Kaylin was in Nashville, I went out there because I was bored. Yeah. And I was like, I just drove down the middle of Pine without getting stuck or having any mud at all. I didn't even get my truck dirty.
Yeah, when it dries up, it's great. But that thunderstorm lasted a while, and then I went out, picked the kid up, and we drove around for a little bit just to let him fall asleep because he falls asleep when we hit the trail. So I was just trying to get him to take a nap. And, yeah, dude, that thing was soaked. Wasn't deep as it's ever been. Like, you know, in the spring, it's bad. But
right.
But it was deep enough that I backed out of it, and I was like, yeah, I don't really feel like getting out and trying to winch. So that was cool. I mean, but that's really the most challenging thing around here until you get to the Skidder area.
Yeah. So I used to have that green trail right around the corner. Well, we call it a green trail, but I guess it's not green per se. It is now around the corner there in Bridgeton, that one that they graded over. That used to be a pretty hard one.
Yeah, especially the up and down that they logged off because of private property now.
Yep. So, Kurt, do you have any plans to do any snow wheeling?
More than likely. I'm not sure exactly what yet, I guess, but I enjoy being out there in the winter a lot. I'm sure we'll do something. No real plans for doing anything in the winter yet, I guess, but would like to do some. We also snowmobile a lot in the winter, so if there's like substantial snow, we'll do that. But
right,
you know, trending lately, not a lot of snow, you know. So, anyways, less and less snowmobiling.
Once you go to the UP.
Yep. So less and less snowmobiling every year. So we like to get up to the UP for that, but it's just such a drive to go and do that sort of thing, I guess. You really got to like snowmobiling, and we just kind of do it like because for a hobby, and it's we're not right. pounding miles between bars like a lot of guys are. We're just, oh, we like the scenery and like this fresh snow and that. So it's kind of a different thing for that, but yeah.
I didn't know you guys had sleds. What do you got?
We both got Articats. Okay. Megan's on an 09, and I'm on a 10, so they're a little older. But, yeah, so I think they're technically Argos now. I can just start calling them Argos. Yeah. I think that's who bought them out.
I just last year sold. I had a 97 Ski-Doo triple. I mean, it was quick. It'd do, like, 9,500-ish.
Oh, yeah.
But
nope, the old triples got a rep for sure.
Dude, I love triples, man. Just the sound of it.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
No, it's a totally, totally different sound. So, yeah, I had a buddy that had a triple in high school, which he had no business having. But anyway, yeah, he ended up with this sled. And surprise, surprise, yeah, he totaled it. Like, yeah, the first winner. And so, yeah, anyways, but, yeah, so we rode that around a little bit, but for our age, it was not appropriate at all.
Right. I got a healthy fear of sleds. I thought, you know, they're fun. They're fun to kind of rip around a little bit, but long distance, I don't know if I could do that. And like I said, healthy fear. I when I was younger, my dad was ripping down. He had a Ski-Doo, and I don't remember what it was, but he was ripping down the a field, and there was a hole in the field, and it launched him up into a tree. And they found him and the sled in the tree, and he had broken leg. I think he had a bunch of broken ribs, a broken arm. And, yeah, I think after that I was like, I don't like him enough to want to, you know, test it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I did. I did here in Grant all the way to Baldwin, wheeled for 8 hours with my father-in-law, snowmobiled for 8 hours with my father-in-law, and then drove it back to Grant all in one day. Well, day and a half, because it was like 26 hours of riding.
That's a day.
In a row. Oh, dude, it was so fun.
Oh.
But yeah, no, we don't do a whole lot of riding anymore. So, I mean, kind of now that we got the Tahoe too, looking to use that more and more than anything else.
Yeah.
And it fits the dogs. So then we got the dogs with us and the heat and all that other stuff. So it's a lot of creature comforts compared to being on the snowmobile. So that's way more enjoyable, I think, in the long run for us. But it's also, yeah, it's like I keep building these trucks, and then every time I build one, then Megan's like, I can't get in this. And now it's at the point where, like, at the end of a wheeling day, like, I am so beat from just getting in and out, not even doing anything, just driving the stupid thing is like such a workout that's like, oh man, this is just too much sometimes, I feel like. But
you just need to put some rope ladders.
Yeah, that's what she tells me all the time. I just need something. Yeah, just something. But
Do you ever plan on just getting something smaller for just some of the medium kind of stuff? Maybe just getting a small Tahoe, small lift?
Geotrack.
Yeah. Yep. That would be perfect.
Maybe something with the family.
Yep. I'm actually going to do a truck up for Megan. So she's just got her own thing, and then she can kind of go at her own pace and do whatever she wants to do. Because there's a lot of times where she's even uncomfortable riding with me doing some of the stuff I'm doing. So I think she'd rather have her own rig and then just do that. She kind of has made a lot of friends now. I mean, your wife's one of them, and stuff. So she's meeting a lot of people kind of on the scene, and she kind of wants to get a little more into it, I think. So I've got another truck, a 99 Chevy that I put together a long time ago, like 10 years ago now. And then when I met Megan, I just retired it because it was just a regular cab, four-wheel drive, but regular cab short bed, just kind of like a little get me around truck or whatever. And it wasn't very practical, so I just parked it next to the barn. But now I think we're gonna get that back in action. I'm build her like a little truggy out of it, that she
Hell
can
yeah.
kinda
oh yeah
follow me around in or whatever, and do her own thing at her own pace and what have you. And then we'll have two rigs, so that'd be a little nicer if something happens to one of them, then can recover one. But hers I would like to keep more street legal, so it can just drive wherever it needs to go. Because if I start talking about trailer and two rigs everywhere, that's like super unpractical. Like, it's really like a blessing that I even have the equipment I have now to do what I do with the Tahoe. It's like, because I never thought I'd have like the truck that I have to be able to pull it around with or anything like that. That's all kind of just stars aligned, and so now I can do that and get out and hit the off-road parks and do all that stuff. And it's a lot more peace of mind being able to do it, like I say, with the trailer and everything. So
I will say that's a 6.0, but it is a really nice 6.0.
yeah, yep, it's the only nice 6.0 that's out there, I think, because I've seen a lot of them too. And yeah, I got it from my buddy that he's a contractor, and he got it just locally from a dealership here, and come from Canada even, so it shouldn't look near as good as it does. But yeah, it must have been just used to haul around a fifth wheel for some retiree or something, and then he got it and used it for a couple years, and he put on like 100,000 miles. Well, he owned it in a couple years, so I had done all the maintenance on it and all the repairs and upgrades already. So then I already knew what I was buying when he put it up for sale, but nobody wanted to buy it because it was a 6 liter. So no one even looked at it. No one even showed up to look at it or make him an offer or anything. And so I just ended up buying it from him for, I mean, what I think is pennies on the dollar, basically, for the amount of truck I got. So yeah, super cool there. Yeah, if that thing went down, then I'd probably be doing a lot less off-roading.
Yeah, we'll have to plan a trip where you come out and do some trail riding with us.
Yeah, for sure.
Out this way. Just because I want to see it do skitter. So get what you got to get done.
Yeah, I'll have to get on it for sure. For sure.
Yeah, it's skitters. Height would actually be a disadvantage there, but your clearance would be nice. So I guess it's kind of a catch-22
right
there.
Right. Yeah. No, I'll definitely need some side protection of some kind of little bump outs or something. So I, at Holly Oaks last year, after we got a bunch of rain and everything washes out there really good all the time if you get a big rain or anything, I was going up this trail that no one else had been up clearly since it washed out and had some huge ruts in it. And I didn't really think much of it, but the way my truck dropped into it, I ended up coming right over on the driver door and fender into the, basically the dirt mound that was like the trail was carved into the dirt. And so then you got a mound that builds up type thing. And, so that was kind of depressing when I did that, but luckily it didn't take too much damage, but it was one of those where it's like, oh, I have to be more conscious of that next time, that I can't just do anything because I'm on 40s. I actually tip over really easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yes.
Tipping over.
Say, how much?
Go ahead, Gavin.
Fun. Yeah. I was just asking, do you know how much ground clearance you have, really?
to the belly of the Tahoe is 24 inches with the 40s on it.
Ooh.
So, and it's all, everything's flush on the bottom until you get to the rear leaf spring mounts. Those hang down a little bit, but it's got quite a bit of ground clearance on it as it is, so.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, so, but it's weird because I didn't really build it to be a crawler or like a, I mean, it's not an overlander, obviously, but I hang with you guys a little bit just kind of doing the off-road stuff. And it was really just built to be the next mud truck. I mean, I literally was building it to just beat the living snot out of it. And then when we took it to Holly Oaks and just like started doing some of the obstacles, it's like it kind of walks up a lot of this stuff compared to some of these other guys. Like there's really nothing to it, and is just kind of, so I just kind of doing more of that now, I guess. And it's obviously a lot less, I shouldn't say less maintenance for me, but like the washing part, you know, staying out of the mud is nice. But over here, like in the thumb of Michigan, there's nothing to do for off-road unless you hit an off-road park. So like the trail isn't even an option unless you drive a couple hours. So we just grew up mud bogging around here. That's all you do if you got a truck, and there's fields everywhere. I mean, that's all there is around here is farms. So kind of everybody gets started at least with the mud bogging, I feel like, over here. Otherwise, you've got no reason to have something off-roady. So probably comical to see some of the Jeeps that are outfitted driving by you guys that don't ever do anything. But like over here, it's like, well, I literally know you don't do anything with that because there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, no one takes their stuff to the mounds because that's just where you go to ruin nice things. Basically, it's hard to say that's even an off-road park. It's just kind of a place where you can go beat your stuff to death and they don't maintain it.
Yeah. Right. Around here, we've got a lot of like very beat cars that people take on trails. We had a pretty big mud bog scene for a while, but now they only do like one mud bog a year. So,
We had growing up, my family in Owosso, they had a mud bog in their backyard in their property. And they would host it probably every 6 months or so.
Yep.
And that was big. People brought big trucks. There'd be 30 trucks or so there. Big party, basically.
Yep.
And so that was kind of what I knew. I know my uncle had a truck that it was like an old, I want to say it was like a 86 Chevy or something like that, 85, something like that, that he had completely gutted it. Cut the fenders almost clear off, took every accent you could off of it. He called it Squirrel, and then put the biggest tires that he could find on it, and that thing was just such a piece, but it did do a lot. So I mean, he would crawl that up, you know, stumps in our yard, or try to crawl it up an actual standing tree, and he'd do every mud hole he could find, and yeah, that thing was just such a piece. It was cool, though. You know, it's kind of fun to have a beat up.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, something you just do not care about is it's a lot of fun. Yeah. So, and that's kind of what the Tahoe is a little bit. More and more I try to take care of it because I kind of realize what it's capable of. And like if it had just gone out and been a turd right off the bat, like I would have been jumping it and bombing it off or whatever. But it seems like it's going to hold up pretty good. So I'll probably just take care of it and let it live whatever natural life it can have from this point on.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I should do a little bit more to protect mine so that I can live a little bit better of a life. That's on my list. But I really try not to sink mine if I can help it, to fuck it up at all. Because, you know, time down. For me, I don't enjoy working on my vehicles, and Alex knows this. I've said that to Alex and Mark before, but it's just time down for me is more time doing stuff that I don't want to do, which is work on it than money on it, and at least in that way, right? Like I don't want to spend money on repairing it. I want to spend money on either upgrading it or buying something I want or using that money for a trip or, you know, whatever.
See, so, but if I don't break it, how do I know what needs upgraded? So, yeah. And if it's not broken, why would I upgrade it?
It's an ongoing joke. Things called maintenance.
Yeah. You see,
But that's how you find what needs upgraded.
That's also, that's also how you find out how much money you're in debt to. You put yourself in debt over upgrading the crap out of them. I mean, it's great, and I do want to get, you know, if I had Buku money, I'd get a supercharger and portals, but just to say I have them, really. But for now, what it, I mean, maybe I'll do 35s next year. I know I'm going to get some new upper control arms probably next spring. And yeah, we'll start working on that a little bit, more of the suspension, the armor on it. I got stock skids on it now, just to help protect it a little bit more. So, you know, the more I do this stuff, the more possibilities that it's not going to make it. And the more experience I get, the more I push it. So just I'll make sure that when I do push myself over that comfort zone, that it isn't going to leave me stranded.
Just make sure you beef up your knuckle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to talk to you guys about that at some point. Cause
it's like
when I do my uppers, I'll probably look at doing that.
It's like, what, $60 for the reinforcements? Yeah. Oh, that's mine. I don't know what yours are.
Yeah.
Ours was just shy of 100.
That's what you were talking about. Was that what you were talking about, Gus, today?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
When Alec welded up for you, we just got to get the material, which is prefabbed.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to look into it for sure.
You just got to make sure your knuckles aren't already partially bent.
They shouldn't be.
I know. It shouldn't be, but you never know.
Yeah. I don't think I've tried to kill it as much as maybe Alex has, but
I am really nice to my truck. I don't know what you're talking about.
As long as you
spent 3/4 of the summer upgrading / fixing things, so
as long as you don't bunt a tractor tire like I did.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yep.
So
and bumping is kind of a misleading term, but yeah.
I said I punted. Clearly, it was flying.
Kurt, you go to the dunes a lot too, right?
Yeah, we go to the dunes pretty frequently. Just like it over there a lot. So kind of hear more and more. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but again, that's kind of, I think it's more of an east side thing because we have nothing to do over here. So we already have to travel so far. And so I think a lot of people here like the dunes a lot. In this area in particular, it seems like everyone has a dune toy, which is just some old, like, restored whatever it is that they trailer over there once a year to tool around the dunes and show off. So there's, like, a big dune culture in this area, even though we're so far away. Right. It's kind of weird like that, but I enjoy it over there a lot. Like, I could run those hills all day and not get bored, myself at least. Like, I just keep finding dumber and dumber ways to go up them. If I can make it, like, going at speed, then I just keep trying to climb it slower. If I can do this, I'll just whatever and just keep trying to get stuck or make it challenging. Yeah, and I've been over there with a few different trucks too, I guess. Like, I'm always experimenting with dumb crap. I've got a 96 two-wheel drive truck with a 5.3 swap in it that I bought some paddles for it, and so they're razor paddles, but they're 30 inches tall, like an 8 or 10 paddle, and I take that out there quite a bit too and just toy around with that, and that does pretty good. But it's kind of frustrating too when it gets stuck, because then it's just like, okay, now I just have to go flag someone down to pull me out, and I'm that idiot in a two-wheel drive.
Right.
But yeah, but anyway, yeah, I don't know, get back to your question. We go over there a lot. We used to go with my family a lot, and they don't really go so much anymore. We used to like have like 3 or 4 family trips over there a year, and we all had sand rails, as far as like my dad's got a rail. And my uncle's got a couple rails and cousins with rails. So we'd always go over there, and that was like always a huge hoot. So maybe it's like just trying to relive some of those times too. And, but I don't know, it brings back a lot of memories just driving through town there and going through the roundabout, all that, just seeing all the people. It's just fun over there. It's just kind of a different world in mirrors.
Yeah. It was weird. It was my first time going last year, and I went for that Toyota takeover, and it was just, I was still pretty new. I was very new on sand like that, like dune sand. So airing down and passing people that were stuck quicker than me. I was pretty nervous, honestly. You know, there was like an old, like 85 with like, it had to have been a like 6-inch lift, big ass tires. And that thing was stuck like 20 feet in. It was like a Lexus stuck, 4Runner. And I'm like, dude, I was like getting sketched out. Cause I did not have the experience to feel, you know, confident on it. And so I'm just keeping pace with Ed in front of me. And then we get out there and we park and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not sinking down much. This is cool. But it's like chaos. It's just like no fucking rules. We're driving. There are people like driving right in front of us sideways. Like, you know, you got people like crossing in front of you as you're trying to get down this area. And I'm like, dude, fuck. And then finally we get out. Ed's like, yeah, we got to go up this hill to get out. And I'm like, what? We got to go up a hill? He's like, yeah, we're going up this one to get out of here. And I'm like, can't we go the other way? Like, and so, you know, I put it in four again because I was on two for a little bit. And the traction control started being dumb. So put it back in four and just fucking booked it up the hill and kind of launched it a little bit. Hit a whoopee and threw everything in the back around, but just kept going because I was so fucking scared of sinking halfway or something. So, but it was fun. It isn't my cup of tea. Just for more of like, I hear a lot of people that are closer to the ground that does havoc to your vehicle. So I really don't want to have to deal with that much. And when we were out there, we were cooking. So unless we were down by the beach for most of the day, it's just not our thing. We like trees and shit.
Oh yeah, that sun out, the sun out in the sand is killer. Yeah, when it gets beaten out there.
Yeah, yeah. My son was out there. We were out for probably an hour or so, and he had a sun hat on, and he was still getting sunburned already. And I was like, "Yep, yeah, time to go."
Yeah, all my issue with the dunes are solely with Silver Lake, because like the dunes in Yuma, Arizona, fantastic. You've got like 40 miles. There aren't hundreds of people piled up, but Silver Lake, there's people everywhere.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's just one of those big off-road attractions that's available in Michigan.
Yeah. It's the biggest party in Michigan every weekend, pretty much. I mean, it's a happy place.
Is that open in the winter?
No.
I didn't think so.
They open.
I was like, I've never seen anybody snow wheel out there in the winter.
They open
snowmobile
for six
really.
Months or so.
Yep. They're open April 1st to October 31st. And then from November 1st to beginning of December, you can ride your horses out there.
Yep.
And then I think that's it. I mean, otherwise, I'm sure you can bamboozle your snowmobile across the lakeshore and get over there. But, yeah, there's no, like, legal riding there in the winter or anything.
Right.
Yeah, I sent you pictures of the pre-runner I built in Arizona, Kurt. That was my dune toy that I built back in the day. It was a I want to so bad. But the thing is, if I build another one, I don't know that I'd use it because I hate all the people on Silver Lake.
A lot of them are, there's a large mix of side-by-side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's just tons of carelessness.
And who knows? Maybe that's how Yuma is now. You gotta remember, I was wheeling that in like 2017 when side-by-sides were way less popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now everybody's got one.
Yeah. The thing about the dunes is, I mean, you can just go wide open out there because there's no obstacles until there is, and then that's where everybody gets in trouble. But, you know, that's too, with there being so much traffic out there, it gets rutted so easily, and unless they've got a constant wind to keep everything graded nicely, like, it gets kind of miserable out there, like, when there's no wind, and it's just, like, the hottest of dry days, and like, it's just, there's nothing fun to do out there. But the side-by-side people, I mean, there's no limit to their throttle and how fast they can take it, no matter how rough it is. So they live out there all the time. But yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it can be pretty miserable when it gets super rutted. And that's again too on the on my bigger tires. It's that's a lot more noticeable going through that type of stuff too. Where before, like on a smaller tire, like you get a lot of the when you're going through there. And now that's kind of soaked up a lot with the bigger tires. But like you were saying, the dunes is super rough on something that's not really set up for it. Just all that shaking and jerking around all the time. I mean, just beats the snot out of stuff, especially here from Michigan that's already kind of decrepit to begin with. I mean, you take it out there in the salt, or not the salt, but the sand, and it doesn't do it any favors. So,
I went out there back in high school in a little CJ5, and it was a terrible experience. I mean, it was just all rough. It was awful. And then we went for Toyota Takeover this year, and having the long travel, it was a whole different world. Like, I didn't feel any ruts. It was just smooth. Yeah, so big difference. It might have been weight of vehicle, too, because that CJ5 was, like, maybe 1,200 pounds.
Yeah, and aren't Leafs a little worse for that kind of thing?
Oh, that CJ.
The washboard.
Yeah. That CJ5 wasn't on Leafs.
Oh, no?
No. No, that one was coilovers. I mean, if it was stock, it would have been.
Right.
No, this one had a, I want to say a Dauntless V6 in it. I don't remember what was in that one. But, yeah, I mean, it was quick. It was loud. It was fast. It just was so rough because it didn't weigh anything.
Yep.
But that is about our hour. It was nice having you on, Kurt.
I really appreciate you asking me to come on. So, yeah, hopefully we can do it again sometime and hook up and wheel for sure.
Well, we'll get you on next time when you get back from Leatherwood, because I heard you got another one of those coming up.
Yeah, I'm not the mastermind of that trip. That's the wife, I think, is setting that up. So, but yeah, we could definitely do that. So I think coming up here, we'll have I think August is going to be pretty dull, but September, be doing Detroit 4 Fest is beginning of September. I think everybody on the west side there is going to the Dune Night Ride, and I think there's maybe some other event too or something going on. But so a bunch of things conflicting there. But then after that, we're going to try to go down to Windrock for the Bleepin' Jeep fan ride they're having. And so anyways, gonna go see what that's about. I thought that'd be kind of a cool opportunity to go down there and just meet them and do some wheeling. So we liked Kentucky and wanted to try to do some more out of state stuff. So anyways, was gonna give that a shot too.
Are you gonna be free for our Cords and Calf coming up?
No, I think I was just looking at, I think that's 4 Fest too. That's, are you on the 6th? Is that the, or the 7th? Or
oh, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Same weekend as 4 Fest.
Yep. So that was, that was the other event then that I was looking at. So sorry, I couldn't remember your guys' event right away, but.
Oh, that's all right. I don't even remember what it is.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll have another one in October, so you can catch that one.
No, that should be good. So we should be maybe good for October.
Yeah, man, it's been cool having you on. I guess I should plug Cords and Calf a little bit. So we're doing Cords and Calf September 6th. I'll put the coordinates in the show notes because I'm not just going to read them off to you. That's kind of hard and long. it's a pretty cool spot. We went and cleaned it up recently, so it should be a good time.
Yep.
So, on that note, we will catch you guys later.
Later.
Have a good one.